ょう。こんなもん始まってますでばや。ナラヤナムナマスクルッタム。ナロンチャイヴァナロッタマ。デイヴィムサラスワティムヴィアサム。タトジャヤムディレヘ。Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text 10. Karhisma chit shudra rasan vichinvam. Stanmakshikabhir vyatito vimanah.Tatradikrucha pratilabdhamano Ballad vilumpanta tam tato anne Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes in order to haveA little insignificant sense enjoyment, one searches after debauched woman. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the woman's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman.For some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Purport. In a great forest, honeycombs are very important. People often go there to collect honey from the combs, and sometimes bees attack and punish them.In human society, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest of material life simply for honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women. Day after day, with great difficulty, they try to secure such women, and sometimes while trying to taste this kind of honey,One is attacked by woman's kinsmen and chastised very heavily. By bribing others, one may secure another woman for enjoyment. Yet another debauchee may kidnap her or offer her something better. This woman hunting is going on in the forest of material world, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally. Consequently, in this Krishna conscious movement,The devotees are forbidden to have illicit sex. Thus, they avoid so many difficulties. One should remain satisfied with one woman, being duly married. One can satisfy one's lusty desires with his wife without creating disturbance in society and being punished for doing so.Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya.Chakshurun militam mena tasmai Sri Guruve namaha Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam mena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho JagatpateGopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Brasha Krupa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Ramo, Hare Hare. So we are reading the Rahuguna. So in these instructions, he is graphically narrating the nature of material enjoyment. In order to develop unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead, first one has to understand that he has to detach from material sense enjoyment. And if one has to detach from material sense enjoyment, he has to understand its futility. Why one should give up material enjoyment? So in this particular verse, it is clearly described, in the material world, the highest enjoyment is considered as a sexual intercourse. And then practically, if you see in this material world, right from Brahma till insignificant insect is always after seeking after this material enjoyment. And that's considered as the topmost. And here, Jadbharat is clearly explaining that how it works. It completely blinds a person and he thinks he's enjoying, but he has to pay a very high price in order to get this insignificant pleasure. So that's how one has to understand that how one can transform this lust into love. If you see a Vedic system, that is Varnashram system, that is established in a such a way that we can fulfill some of our material desires, but it's done in a such a regulated way that ultimately will lead to liberation. Ultimately we'll get free from this material desires. So that is why Vedic culture stresses more importance on the training aspect. The Vedic society means one has to be trained first in observing the first part of his life, the strict celibacy. And that is why people used to go to the house of spiritual master, Gurukuls, where the first training was given how one can restrain his senses. So one has to understand that it's not just the gross, but it has to be, one has to eradicate this material desire in the subtle forms also. That is why the brahmacharis, not only they just avoid the gross physical activity, at the same time there are certain other restrictions that are given, that one should not even see the picture, one should not even in the mind plan or do so many things. So what does that indicate means that one has to have a control on the subtle aspects as well as on the gross aspects also. And this is very, very essential, as Arjuna was also very much concerned that if the elders in the family are destroyed, then the whole family traditions will be lost. And then there will be lot of unwanted population which will create disturbance in the society. So he was very hesitant to fight. Because in the Vedic culture, the old people, because of their experience, were able to guide the younger ones. And the younger ones instead of learning themselves by trial and error method, they would derive the wisdom from the elders and would not make the same mistake made by them. So that's the beauty of Vedic culture, where the knowledge was passed down, the experience were passed down in such a way that people didn't have to regret that only if I knew these things before, my life would have been much more peaceful. So intelligent person understands by hearing, and a less intelligent person does that thing, gets that experience, gets kicked by the material nature, and then he comes to that conclusion. And that, especially this particular verse, it's talking about one of the highest pleasures that is considered in the material world. And it is very clearly said that sometimes in order to have a little insignificant pleasure, one keep on searching. And the nature of material enjoyment is such that it will never give you full satisfaction. No matter how much you enjoy, you will still keep hankering for more and more enjoyment. And one has to pay a lot of price for that. And a very nice analogy is given, is that of a bees. Those who know that, those who stay in the forest, the honey is such a sweet that we see those honeycombs are lying in the forest. Sometimes they are on the top of the trees. But usually honeycombs are at very difficult places where nobody can easily reach that place. But still, people go after taking that honey. And in the process, there is so much of difficulties. Because immediately the bees will attack. Now you have to find out so many ways. And then in spite of that, even if you are experienced, many times you get bees stung. And that is very, very painful experience. But still, next time when a person sees honeycomb, again, because of the taste of the tongue, he goes for the same enjoyment. And then this is particularly mentioned, that when person goes after seeking enjoyment like this, he suffers. And especially, Srila Prabhupada condemns by saying that one must avoid the illicit sex, because that will, if those who avoid illicit sex, they will have to face a lot of less troubles. And we see these things from Srimad Bhagavatam, where there it is specifically mentioned about the illicit sex. And then we see the sixth canto in the story of Ajamil, where this Brahmana was staying in Kanak Kubja, and he had all the Brahmanical qualities. And when he became attracted by one woman, and then what happens is, he gives up all the Vedic studies which he was doing. He was of a good character. His conduct was also very good, and he possessed all the Brahmanical qualities. And he was very mild as well as gentle in his behavior. And he controlled his senses as well as mind. He was a very truthful person. He was upright. And he was benevolent and totally non-envious. These are the qualities that are mentioned about Ajamil. And he was totally free from false pride. But just once while performing a yajna, he had to collect the ingredients for yajnas. So he goes in the forest. On the path, he sees that one low-class woman is enjoying with another low-class man. So the first, when he sees these scenes, he immediately takes his eyes off from that. And the instructions which he has received from the Vedic literature, he tries to control his mind. But somehow or other, his intelligence is pierced by this prostitute. He again keeps thinking about that. And as Bhagavad Gita mentioned this, if you keep thinking about the sense object, you will develop enjoyment for that. And just because of this one particular attraction, slowly, slowly, he gave up the whole thing. Now he had a young, beautiful wife, he left her. He had old parents, he left them also. And then he kept this prostitute in his house as a maid servant. And then in order to just maintain her, he had to live the life of cheating and plundering. So he started giving trouble to others, because if you want to keep such a woman in the house, you had to keep her happy by giving her so many gifts. Otherwise, immediately she will go to another person who can offer better facilities. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that easily you can provide X amount of facilities, but if someone else provides more than X, then immediately the equations, they change. So just in order to keep her home, he started getting the wealth from illegal means. And then he started arresting the people. Then he started cheating in gambling. And if all these things doesn't work, then he would resort to direct plundering. And what was his intention? Just because of doing all these things, he can do more illicit sex. So why Srila Prabhupada is stressing this point, that in the Krishna conscious movement in our society, we strictly avoid this activity. Because if this activity is there, whenever there is illicit sex is performed, you will find there will be cheating, there will be thievries, people will be plundering the things, and then naturally they take to intoxications and gambling. So whenever a person performs this activity, naturally, natural course, he will perform other activities also. One by one, he will take to gambling, he will take to intoxications, and he will take to meat eating. And by this, he will totally destroy his life. And the purpose for which we get this woman birth will be defeated. And the highest attraction is attraction towards supposed sex. And if one can control this, then that person is liberated. But it's not so easy to give up this attachment. So that is why the scriptures, they give us so much of description that how the people in the past, they suffered, so that we can take lessons from that and learn. Why it is very much condemned? Because that will completely destroy one's character. It will destroy the exalted position that person is staying, and then whole money that person has will be plundered. And afterwards, by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he gets a chance of hearing a discussion between Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas, he remembers his past life. He remembers his past samskaras, past instructions that he's given. And then that time he starts lamenting. He understands that I was following all these rules and regulations very strictly. I had old parents. Nobody was there to take care of them because I don't have brothers or sisters. They didn't have any friends. And in their old age, they suffered because nobody was there to take care of them. And instead of performing my duty, I was simply doing all these activities. I was always in anxiety to get this pleasure. And to maintain that standard of living, I had to earn the wealth by so many ways. And it gave me so much of anxiety in the life. So when there is such an attraction towards opposite sex, this is what a person has to suffer. Then we have another example that comes in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we have the story of Pururavava. So it so happens that Mitra and Varuna, they curse Urvashri, and then she had to come down to this earth planet. And when she approaches Pururava, she sees his beautiful, handsome form. So she gets attracted to him. And when he also first sees her, he also immediately gets attracted to her. Immediately his eyes lit up in jubilation. And without considering any other thing, the first thing that he proposes her is that you are such a beautiful woman, and why don't we come together in a sexual relationship? This is the very first proposal he gives it to her. And then she also attracted to him by his bodily beauty, immediately says that, why, who is the woman who will not accept the shelter given by you? Because you possess such a good power, you possess such a beautiful body, and if somebody rejects that, that person must be less intelligent. And just without any endeavor, if this proposal is coming, then she immediately accepts that. But what happens is she puts up three conditions. So it's not that there was an unconditional marriage. So all these three conditions were laid down. And then because Pururava was so much enchanted by the beauty of Urvashri, he doesn't think, his intelligence doesn't work. And he finds those conditions are very easily he can satisfy that. He finds that I am a king, I am such a great person, and what are these three conditions? But the thing is that a marriage was based upon the conditions. And then he agrees to that marriage proposal, so the marriage contract gets signed that she has to do this things and he has to do this things. But then what happens is day and night, both of them, they start enjoying themselves. So when there is expectation by a woman that a man should fulfill this things, and a man has expectations from a woman, so she should do this things. So when both the parties want some expectations, and when they come together, and when that expectation is not fulfilled, then they find that what I was thinking, that's not the reality. And then naturally, there is a trouble in the marriage. So when it's based on this principle, it never works. And then later we see that Pururava starts enjoying, and he doesn't understand how the days are passing, how many days have gone. He doesn't understand whether the sun is setting or sun is rising. He just becomes completely oblivious of material situation. He just had one thing and he goes on satisfying that again and again, and the more attachment develops. But then what happens, as mentioned in this purport, that Indra becomes morose. He says that my assembly is no longer beautiful because Urvashi is not present. So he tells Gandharvas that you please make some adjustments and get Urvashi back to my kingdom, because I am unable to bear the separation from her. So then Gandharvas, they make some plans, and they are intelligent in such a way that they knew the conditions, and the one condition gets broken, and then Urvashri chastises Pururava in a very, very harsh words. She says that though you are in the male body, but your action is like that of a female. And you promised me these things, and you have broken the promise. So now marriage is end, and she leaves him. But because he is so much strictly attached to her, though he was not dressed, he just runs after her and pleading her that please don't leave. Somehow or other will try to work out the situation. But in anger, she just leaves. And then what happens to this Pururava? Though he is the ruler of the whole entire earth planet, he just wanders the whole earth planet like a madman. And keep wandering from place to place. And then after many years, one day he finds Urvashi is sitting in a Kurukshetra along with her five companions. And the moment he sees her, immediately he approaches her and he says that, I was not able to satisfy you, and because of that you left. But see, my condition is such that if you don't accept, this beautiful body will just drop here, and the jackals and vultures will eat this body. So this is how he starts pleading to her to get some favor from her. And that time she says that, why are you acting in this way? Why are you wasting your beautiful body and making it a food for vultures and fox? She says that, do you know what you are attached to? She tries to give him certain good instructions so that he can come to the senses. She says that, I am a woman, you are attached to me, but do you know what are the nature of a woman's? So she herself says that the nature of a woman is such that it's like a cunning, it's like a fox, and then you are trying to be attached to me. So in this case, Srila Prabhupada explains that when person takes to the life of Krishna consciousness, then this distinction doesn't work. Whether person is man, woman, whether is a Brahman, Shudra, Kshatriya, or whether even if he's a Chandala, if he takes to life of Krishna consciousness, then he should be treated equally. And one should relate another person depending upon his spiritual status and not to his external conditions. But if the Krishna conscious principles are not present, then these things will apply. Then again she elaborates more by saying that women can never tolerate a slight offense done to them, and they will, for their own sense gratification, they are ready to take any steps. They can kill their husband also, or they can kill their brothers also, just so that their sense gratification can remain intact. That's why Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, that is why there is a need for training in the society. The women should be trained in the chastity, then they will not suffer from their natural weaknesses. Then she again further elaborates, saying that they can be easily seduced by the men. They are not able to understand what is their real benefit. And that's why they give up their real well-wisher and they will go after a foolish person. And like that, they will keep on changing their partners without knowing who is their real well-wisher. That is why Prabhupada says in the purport that the Vedic tradition, where the independence were not given to the woman, and they were given rather than a proper protection. So in their childhood, the father would protect the women, and after a husband, and when husband leaves home or he leaves his body, then elder son would take care of her. That's how there was a proper protection of system, so that these kinds of evil things were avoided. So she tried to educate him by saying that he must give up the attachment that he has for her. But the nature of attachment is such that in spite of good counsel, sometimes it doesn't work. So seeing so much of attachment and eagerness in the heart of Pururava, Urvashi says that, okay, one day in a year, the last day of a year, I can come to you and both of us can stay together. And this is the one hope that was there in Pururava's heart, which kept him alive. He was practically ready to leave his body, but this one ray of hope was given by Urvashi, that one day in a year he will be able to enjoy, and then he decides to leave. So this is how the living entity, in the hope of enjoying, he tries to work in this material world, and then he earns some things, he tries to enjoy more, but this goes on life after life, till one understands the proper goal of human life. And then what happens? that one day in a year they come together. The Pururava would be always counting for that day. As there is always a counting, like when you like a cricket match, then we always see now there is 1 week, now there are 10 days, now there are 4 days, 1 day remaining. So like that, he would always be counting the days. Now 1 year means 365 days, now 360 left, now 250 left, now 201. And then that day he would be so joyous to meet his beloved consort. And then they would enjoy. But at the end of a night, in the morning, when Urvashri is about to leave, he became so sad and so morose at the thought of being separated from her. And again, he is flung into that misery. Then Urvashri tells him that at this time, if he is so much eager, then he should satisfy the Gandharvas. Gandharvas have power to deliver her to him. So he tries to please Gandharvas by doing so many prayers in so many ways. And Gandharvas also become pleased by his prayers. And then they give one celestial woman which resembled like that of Urvashri. So in the first place, Pururava thinks that she is Urvashri and starts roaming with her in the forest. But after some time he understands that she is not the original one, but it's like a duplicate. So after understanding that, he again becomes morose, leaves her in the forest, comes back to his home. And that's a time where Treta Yuga starts. So Yajna, Treta Yuga, one worships the Supreme Lord by performing various yajnas. So he goes to that forest where he had left that celestial woman given by Gandharvas. And he starts, sees that there was one Shamik tree, and from that Shamik tree, one Ashwatha tree had grown up. So he takes one wood from Shamik tree, he takes one root from Ashwatha trees, he keeps one wood below, meditating, that's Urvashri, he keeps one wood above, thinking himself as Pururava, in between he puts one stick, which he considers as their son. So accordingly, he performs that yajna. And by performing the yajna, he satisfies the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the purpose of performing yajna is to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And if he is pleased, he can bestow any benediction, he can bestow mukti also, that is liberation from all these miseries. But because he was attached, even though Supreme Lord was present in front of him, he was always meditating on his beloved consort Urvashri. So after that, he gets a benediction, he gets ability to go and reside in the Gandharva planets. And after, so in the ninth canto, the story ends here. And then again, you will find in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna, while is instructing Uddhava, he narrates this story saying that after staying on the Gandharva planets for many years, then Pururava realizes what are the mistake he has done. And then he understands that how he wasted his whole life just going after this insignificant pleasure. He says that I was such a powerful person, I could control the whole earth planet, and just one, this woman, controlled me in such a way as if I was a toy in her hand. And she left me as an insignificant blade of grass. And still, I was so much attached that without any clothes, I just ran after her like a madman. And then he offers beautiful prayers of detachment, and ultimately, he realizes and gets liberated from his desire. So when we see that when these things are based on just physical attractions, then it can never give us a peace. And that's why the Vedic system was such that this urge will always remain in the heart. So you try to control. If you can't control, at least try to regulate in such a way that by doing that, ultimately you are making progress in your life. And ultimately, we reach the liberation. And then we have another story that comes in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where there is the Kardamuni. He was performing a lot of tapasya. And after performing a lot of tapasya, he was able to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Vishnu himself comes there. And then he offers a beautiful prayer unto the glorification of Lord Vishnu. And then he explains the desire in his heart. He says that there is a desire in my heart to get married. And then I will perform devotional service unto you. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows the heart of every living entity, he says that within 3 days, day after tomorrow, the Swayambhu Manu will come along with his good daughter Dehabhuti, and he will offer that daughter to you. So you please accept that daughter, and then your desire will be fulfilled. And this Karadamuni starts doing his daily duties. And then Swayambhu Manu, who was the ruler at that time, when he sees that his daughter is reaching at marriageable age, he sits on a golden chariot along with his wife Shatrarupa and his daughter, and approaches the hermitage of Kardamuni. So when Kardamuni says that the emperor of the world has come, he receives them as per Vedic hospitality, praising him that you are the protector of religion, you are the protective energy of the Supreme Lord. And after praising him, giving him place to sit, then Swayambhu Manu also starts glorifying Kardamuni, that how he is elevated Brahmana and doing this nice tapasya. And after that he says that the purpose for which I have come here is I want to offer my daughter in marriage to you. And he explains that how she is a qualified, she is my daughter, at the same time she is a sister of Uttanapad and Priyavat. So like that he explains, and he says that she will be a suitable match for you. And when Kardamuni was praying to the Supreme Lord, he was asking for a girl who will be having a good disposition. That matching disposition, that means he wanted a girl who will be qualified by the qualities and not by the just external physical beauty or how she can give me a different kinds of sense gratification. So Swayambhu Manu also says that how she has these good qualities and you have these qualities, and it will be a good match. And Kardamuni, he also had heard about her, that there was an incident where one Gandharva was traveling in the air, and when Devabhuti was playing on her palace roof, when he sees her beauty, she was such a exquisitely beautiful that this Gandharva falls down from the airplane. At the same time, Devabhuti also had heard about Kardamuni through Narad Muni. Narad Muni, when he visited the place of Swayambhu Manu, he was narrating the qualities of Kardamuni. But the thing is that how she did is that she approached her father, and father, seeing that this is a good proposal where both the parties are matching together, he takes her daughter and comes to Kardamuni. And here we see that Dehabhuti was princess and her father was a ruler of the entire earth planet. And she goes and marries to Kardamuni, who was staying in the forest in the hut made of dried leaves on the bank of Saraswati River. But he possesses all Brahmanical qualities and a devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's how we see later on, in this first itself, Kardamuni says that I will accept your daughter and then we'll have a children. And once she gets a son, I will leave home and take to the path of devotional service. So this marriage was completely based upon the Vedic principle of Varnashram Dharma, where the both the parties were looking to the qualities, and then how when they come together they will be able to serve the Supreme Lord. So Vedic system was such that ultimately this attraction should be controlled, or at least it should be regularized and restrained, so that one can move towards the ultimate goal of life. And in contrast with what we see in today's is when we talk something about Vedic principles or these traditions, the people are not willing to listen. They feel that we should experience ourselves, or we should take the path of experimentations. And then they encourage the free mixing. But then what happens is, we have to understand what happens after that. Because slowly, slowly, these rich traditions are lost. And then, as Kali Yuga progresses, the so many people will be coming up with different kinds of ideas. But what they present is also not a perfect solution. And because of that, now we find that there is so much of divorce rate. They encourage free mixings between all the opposite sex. And when the man and woman comes together, then what happens is explained very clearly in this verse, as well as in this purport elaborately by Srila Prabhupada. And we find that all the films that are made in the Hollywoods or Bollywoods, they will have the same story told in a different context, in a different ways. But most of the films will be based on this thing, that one person is looking after another, and then there is a rivalry, and after so much of great struggle, he attains it, and again he loses, again he attains it. So the details will be different. And then all these people will spend their hard-earned money to see these things. And instead of developing attachment in the heart, looking after that, to just get this insignificant pleasure, one has to work so hard, and still he gets frustrated and gets kicked in so many ways. But again, the people keep developing attachments. So that's why we understand that how this Maya is so strong, that we can clearly see all these things. Everybody watches different kinds of movies, and when they watch movies, they always see the frustrated material life. But still, after watching these things, the people will develop more and more attachment towards that life. So this is the potency of Maya Shakti. That again and again, looking all these things, because we don't have understanding of the proper alternative, we cannot do these things. Because whatever the traditions and culture that was there, the main purpose was to surrender one's life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was the main purpose in Vedic society. So when that purpose is lost, then all other things are given importance. And today the material comforts will be given the topmost importance. So suppose, like, if you are visiting for business purpose other city, then you will be required to stay in one hotel. Naturally, you will look for the best hotel, but if you don't get in the best hotel, you will go to the less material perfect situation. Because purpose is to just do business and get out of there. Purpose is not just to stay and enjoy there. So the purpose of human life is to render devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And then, that's why previously the most stress was given in serving the Supreme Lord and not serving one's own senses. So here we see that each living entity is trying to lord over material nature. When you try to lord over material nature, there is a tendency to exploit. And when you tend to exploit, then you create so many karmic reactions. Whereas how devotee is able to restrain himself, this tendency of lording our material nature, he converts that into tendency of serving the Supreme Lord, his devotees, and all other living entities. So if one has to get rid of the lust in his heart, he has to understand this technique, that first he has to give up this superior complex. The superior complex means try to lord over the material nature. And when one tries to lord over material nature, he tries to exploit the material situation. Whereas a devotee, he understands that his real nature is to serve. So where a husband and a wife, they come together for purpose of serving the Supreme Lord instead of just purpose of expecting some pleasures from each other, then only the life becomes successful. And we can see, we can save all this trouble. So Prabhupada is again explaining that illicit sex is prohibited in this Krishna conscious society because we can save so much of trouble. But the attraction is so hard that we can't get rid of that attraction unless we come to this conclusion that we have to get complete rid from our heart the enjoying propensity. And to get rid of enjoying propensity, one has to replace by the serving propensity. So when one starts serving to the Supreme Lord, he can save himself from all these dangers. We have seen in the life of Srila Haridas Thakur, all these allurements were present in front of him, but because he was properly engaged in following regulative principles as well as chanting the holy name of the Lord, all these things, even the Mayadevi herself present before her, could not divert his attention. So here we find the instructions of Jad Bharat to Rahuguna, where he is trying to impress on the minds of Rahuguna that he has to develop a proper detachment from this material world. Then only proper attachment unto the Supreme Lord is possible. And that's why he is graphically narrating the real nature of material world. And when one understands the real nature of material world, then only one be able to take shelter at the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll end here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, we'll take just one question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, when Mayadevi came to test Haridas Thakur, whether it was that Maya used her full potency or it was just a pastime?
So this was his second test. One was with the prostitute arranged by Ramchandra Khan. And this was herself, where the Chaitanya Charitamrita states that Mayadevi second time tasted Haridas Thakur and his attention was not diverted. Other details are not available in CC. So I don't want to speculate. This much is stated that Mayadevi herself came and tasted Haridas Thakur and his mind was not disturbed at all. If anyone knows other details, they can speak. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।